You're listening to the Mind Your Own Dog Business podcast. I'm your host, leading expert in dog business strategist, Kristen Lee. Guys, get ready for your journey to cutting edge marketing and sales, creating a standout kick-ass dog business brand, along with mastering your mindset that's going to smash all of those glass ceilings that have been holding you back and catapult your dog business to the next level with actionable steps you can take right away. We're going to empower you. We're going to grow you as you step into your authentic self, not only as a dog trainer, dog walker, or whatever slice of the pet industry you find yourself in, but as that badass entrepreneur. My mission is to disrupt the current norm, cut through the noise, cut through the bullshit, and empower the incredible women of the dog business industry to step into the spotlight, reclaim control, and transform not only their businesses, but their lives. It's real. It's raw, it's uncensored, and it's what this dog business industry needs. Let's do this, guys. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Mind Your Own Dog Biz. And is it really me? Am I being really consistent with recording episodes? I don't know. I mean, I'm just on a push here, I guess. I mean, there's so much good stuff because we've been so quiet the last year and a half. And I actually explained it the other day in one of our Facebook posts of like, yeah, we're human. We got shit to do. And then plus Maggie had a freaking human baby. And then I had a puppy baby type thing. And listen, surprise Pikachu face, human babies and puppy babies, they are friggin' distracting. So anyway, we are back, bitches. We are here. We are warming up. It's going to be a marathon and not a sprint. So again, I'm excited to be here. And to all my listeners that are new and that are been with me, that are new and that are, that have been with me for a while, welcome, welcome, welcome. And I'm excited to talk about this podcast topic today. It's the commitment to chasing quality versus money. Holy crap. It is. I have Ashley here with me, and Ashley and I have been racking our brains over, not even racking our brains, but just like rolling our eyes about how much money is talked about. And listen, all right. I'm guilty of talking about this too. I know I'm guilty of bringing people on that have made a lot of money working at dog business school, but now there's just like this hyper and over fucking fixation in the dog training industry about like, make this amount of money per month, make this amount of money per year. And like, that shit is like all and great. Like, we want you to make money. Making money is important. However, there's like this like commitment to chasing money and chasing clients. So I have Ashley and Meg here to talk about this with you today. And before we get started, I'm going to officially announce to the world, Ashley is part Team Dog Biz School.
Yay!
Don't sound too excited. It's only been 3 weeks. She's like, yay.
I just woke up.
Lucky you. Lucky you.
She's like, I'm excited to be here.
She's like, I'm excited to be here. They're not holding something to my face, making me read off a script. I'm excited to be here. The reason why I'm actually excited to have Ashley here and to bring her along with the team, she's been with us, I think, for like 3 or 4 years now as a student. And funny story, when we first talked to her, I think it was like in June 2021, I had so many red flags about her. And the funny thing about that is I always talk about like, if you don't call out the red flags on a sales call and you just like go, okay, I'm going to sell them just to make money because you're chasing the motherfucking money versus having a conversation about some markers that you're like, ooh, we need to talk about this, can go downhill really quickly. And Ashley came to us, and Ashley, I don't say this to embarrass you at all. It's just, I want to talk about this. Is Ashley came to us. The first thing she said, I hate people.
And that's true.
Yes. She said, I hate fucking people. And to us at Dog Biz School, that's actually a marker of like, we probably don't want to work with you.
Fair enough. Yeah. I don't want to work with that anymore either.
Yeah. Yeah. And we dove into that and we had that conversation. And then she's like, okay, I'm working with this coach, this coach, and this coach. We're like, okay, red flag number two, she is coach bouncing.
Yes. Yeah. Several of them.
Yeah. And we're like, and you've talked about another podcast before, and we're like, okay, fair enough. We had that honest discussion. You know, I'm sure Ashley was pooping herself on the back end. We were like, okay, yeah, we have to have this hard discussion too. And I forgot what the third one was. Oh, she said she wanted to be a coach.
Oh, no, I didn't say I wanted to be a coach.
Did you say that? You didn't say that?
Maggie said I was going to be a coach. And I said, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I didn't ask for coaching until 2 years.
Well, yeah, that was the thing. Because the way Ashley and us had the conversation, she actually was able to be coachable around all the things that gave us massive, like my brothers and sister in Christ red flags. Like she was actually able to be like, hey, no, I'm actually coachable. I'm just fucking tired. I've been doing things the wrong way for a really long time and I was chasing the money. So anyway, long story short, she turned out to be one of our highest performing clients. She is a fantastic, fantastic student coach. We call her our emotional support Ashley. She's like that golden retriever that comes in and like walks around and like gives you their butt and is like, okay, scratch me. I know you're having a bad day. And then she walks around and makes, yeah, let me lean on you. I love you. We're besties. And then she goes about and does her thing. But also what Ashley's really shined through over the last 2 years is her program development and curriculum and building some of the best quality dog training programs using our dog training fusion program. And it's just been, and we're like, holy crap. So I want everybody here to officially welcome Ashley to Team Dog with School. She is one of our feral raccoons. She also likes to collect bones.
I do. I love dead animals as much as live ones.
Yes, yes. She loves to collect bones. She's tattooed. She is part mermaid, I call her. She doesn't know why, but she's an all-around badass, and she's officially Team Dog with School now. So if you get a phone call from her and not one of the 16-year-old boys trying to sell you done-for-you ad stuff, you want to talk to Ashley. Not those little boys, those little man childs trying to sell you agency stuff. Anyway, hello, Ashley. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
You're not crying. I'm excited.
Not yet. No.
Not yet. Hey, it's
I
okay
made
to
an
cry.
Introduction without crying.
Yay. No crying. No emotions and dog training business stuff. Well, Ashley, I think today is a really good, and this is one of those topics that me and you have been bouncing around. Well, the whole team has been bouncing around and we haven't really had the right words to talk about it just yet, but that commitment, and it goes back to, you know, the programs you developed or there's a programs that you're developing for dog business school students, but that commitment to chasing really quality style dog training programs and curriculum, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what's starting to happen, and like we've in the beginning of this conversation, I mentioned like there is like this huge hyper fixation on everybody pushing money, 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 money. Right. And again, it's like the low hanging fruit to all of you guys. I don't want to say that, but it's more attractive to say, hey, make them out of this much money this month per your dog training business versus like, hey, guys, have you sat down and had time to actually look at your programs? Because a lot of you all are in like survival mode, but this is what the conversation has to be. It's like, we need to commit to chasing the quality because of your dog training programs. Because when you chase the quality of your dog training programs and the way you deliver your services and the way you make connections to humans at the other end of the leash, you will be paid in direct proportion to the value you fucking deliver.
Absolutely. That was really well said, Kristen.
Yeah. So Ashley, I want you to kind of like go into it because we've been having those conversations, and especially, you know, one thing that you've mentioned, it's like a lot of dog trainers came into this industry to help people and to follow their passion, not to be like every other dog trainer. So do you want to kind of lead off with that?
Yeah. So yeah, like you're saying, most of us got into this because we want to help people and we want to help dogs and we're really passionate about training. It's a really fun puzzle, but then we work for these other companies and we're like, oh man, we can do better. This is not what I want to put out in the world. And then you think you can do better. So you start a business and then you realize you need business skills to actually like pay your bills and keep things going. And then your passion and your your creativity to really help these people kind of goes to the wayside because you're so busy trying to get the bills paid. And what I was finding is that doesn't feel good. Like, I don't like being there. I love getting my bills paid, but I want to do the best I can for my clients. And I can't do that if I'm cranking out 5 lessons a day, 7 days a week. So that is really uncomfortable for me. And I think all of you can relate too, that it doesn't feel good when we're just hustling to hit these numbers, these sales goals, but we're not really connecting to our clients in the way that we want to. And I want to ask you guys, unfortunately, you can't answer me, but I want to know, how often do you actually update your programs, your curriculum, all of your materials based on what you've learned in your continuing education or what you're seeing in the client experience? Are you seeing that you could do a little better in this spot or that spot? Do you actually update your programs when you see that flaw? Or are you burnt out and don't have the creativity to even know how to resolve those problems?
That's a good one, because a lot of times too, we see people saying, this is really hard. My clients aren't following compliance. Like, they're not following my rules. They're not following my handouts. And then we start to shift blame, I want to say, over to the clients.
Yeah. So we start shifting that blame over to the clients, but if we're dog trainers, right? We know how to train things. So our humans are not any different than the dog. So if the human is struggling to comply, there's something wrong in our training, right? So we need to figure out why the client can't be successful and how we can make this easier for them so they can be successful. Now, obviously, we can't do everything for them. They need to be part of it. We can't make it that easy. It's not a little robot we're programming, but we do need to look at our training programs and the way we're delivering our material and what we're saying so that our clients can be more successful. And that's really what we want, right? We want these dogs and these people to be doing well. And we want all of our clients to be doing well, just not a handful of them or the majority of them. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and the thing about having quality style programs like we teach about in Dog Business School, and like the thing that you're developing, the top secret thing you're developing that we're keeping under wraps forever, you only can learn about it if you talk to us, because we don't want some 14-year-old boy going ripping it off and then selling it to you guys. But the one thing we need to talk about with the quality training programs is it creates this bridge to that lifetime client, if that makes sense. Yeah. Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
So when you have like the standard training program, we do, your lessons, you go once a week to your lessons, and that's really kind of all that there is. You don't really get to connect with your clients. You're just going from lesson to lesson, but you don't really get to learn who they are as people, who they are outside of their dog. They don't really get to learn much about you. You're just a service provider coming in once a week to do your thing, and then you're gone. And then they're like, yeah, that's cool. And then they move on to the next trainer because you did an okay job. You got the job done, but they're looking for that connection. They really want to feel like a family. And that's who stays with you the longest, is the ones who feel like you are family. So how do we do that?
We sign up for training programs. Quality training programs. Ashley's like, I'm just going to pitch you right now. Sign up for grassroots.
Yeah. I just want to share it so bad.
I know. Well, that's the thing too. It's like, when we think about, like, again, chasing money, chasing numbers, chasing a goal, chasing a milepost, that works for some businesses. That works for franchises, right? And but that's not the people that are listening to this podcast. Like, I know the people that are listening to this podcast, they are empathetic as fuck. Like the majority of you all, you need to be, if you're going to be a dog trainer and connect to humans. Some of you guys are riddled with anxiety. Hello.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club. And some of you guys are neurodivergent as fuck. But also too, it's like when we put the stop on consistently having to chase clients and we fill that with a quality longer term training program, that starts almost a chain effect of where you're like, oh shit, I don't need to default into the hustle crisis mode like we talked about in the last episode. And your experience training people and humans is going to soar. Like there's going to be people that, you know, and I understand this, and some people that are listening, you know, some of you don't like people and that's okay. Right. Some of you might be
I've been there.
Yeah. Like, and, but some people might be better off doing group classes or working for somebody. If that's the case, God bless you. I'm going to put my stamp of approval and send you on your way. But if you want to truly have a sustainable business where you can fall back in love with your passion, your craft, your art, your science, the thing that you have dedicated your entire life to. It doesn't matter if you hit $1 million, what it hits that you're having the markers of a quality training program where you're not consistently going, okay, I need lead generation. I need this. I need that. I need to be more marketing, more SEO, more website updates, more blog posts, more this, more that, more DMs or anything else like that. A quality training program hits all the benchmarks for you. And something that before I get words put in my mouth and get my words twisted, we're not saying you draw out a client and not deliver anything good to them in order for them to keep on your TDs there, your tits, your business tits. But when you have a longer term program, like Ashley does, like your clients become your community and your family. And now there's people saying, oh God, that's scary. I don't want people to be in my life like that. That's where your quality training programs come in. And that's where you have boundaries. And it's quality also isn't over delivering and over giving and creating a bunch of needy clients. It's providing a service that's higher end.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because if you are over delivering and doing all too much, then again, you run into burnout and you cannot serve your clients in the highest quality way because you just got nothing left.
Yep. Ashley saw me burned out the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, it was scary. Like people don't know the back end of stuff that was going on, but like y'all, like I thought about bouncing out of this because I was just so burnt out. And like, I'm being very vulnerable and honest, and this might be weaponized against me and I don't give a fuck, but I want to show you like over delivering to prove your value to clients will burn you out and make you so bitter and resentful that you start to hate people. You literally start to hate people.
And then that takes away your creativity to solve problems.
Boom.
You just, you're in this muck of, I hate this and I'm not having a good time. Nothing feels good. Nothing feels aligned.
Aligned.
And I've got nothing left to give because I have given way too much.
Yeah. And that was because of the over delivery on our back end stuff. And it sucks. And I see and I've talked about this before in other episodes. And it's something that I'm sharing this not to take away from our conversation here, but it's so easy deep down as a people pleaser, being an empathetic as fuck person, to over deliver. And your quality dog training programs should protect your client's investment into you as much as it protects your time into your clients as well.
100%. Yeah. With delivering a high quality service, that absolutely, it protects you and your mental health and your time, but also protects your clients.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you can't give a quality service unless your mental health is protected.
Right. And then that's why you see a lot of people in this industry burning out. They are doing really unhealthy coping mechanisms, like super unhealthy coping mechanisms. They go into echo chambers that everything sucks and they hate people and people should get a goldfish instead. And then they're like, oh, surprise Pikachu face. Why are people not complying to my training programs? Cause that shit subconsciously, like, I don't know, whatever woo shit you believe in, God, my brother in Christ, like whatever, are. Like the universe, like a higher power, I believe in the universe and higher powers. But like when you're subconsciously like angry at clients, when you're subconsciously in financial survival mode, that shit leaks through and it does not make a good time. It's not a quality time for anybody. So.
Yeah. So the energy that you're putting out is the exact energy you're going to receive back. Ooh. So if you're sitting in muck, I hate people. I hate everything. You're going to get those clients who also have a shitty attitude and hate everything. And they're so much harder to work with because they're so pessimistic. But when you're coming from a place of love, on your sales calls and in your lessons, you're just pouring it out from your soul. That energy is going to be matched back to you. And it feels so good. It feels so
it's fulfilling. Yeah. It's fulfilling. Yeah. It's literally fulfilling. And when you're fulfilled spiritually and also mentally and you're well taken care of, that should also leads back into creativity. It leads back into, oh my God, I can have this breakthrough. Holy crap. I have 10 extra minutes in the morning where I can sit down and type a whole bunch of words and have a fucking breakthrough on everything.
Or you now have the mental capacity to go take a class and learn something new and bring that back to your students with even more excitement and enthusiasm than you had before.
Yeah. And there's more, but it also opened, I want to reiterate what Ashley said. It opens your mind to learning new things. Like I always know when a student's going to be successful in dog business school is when they come in. Because the first couple weeks, it's how would you describe it, Ashley? The first couple weeks in dog business school,
it's changing. It's free.
It is jumping. It's that swing in New Zealand that you just like. Okay, I'm gonna jump.
It feels like jumping off a cliff. It's worth it. It's definitely worth it. It was worth it for me, but. It is a scary place to be. And I have all the empathy in the world for our students. And I do try to make this transition as easy as possible.
Yeah.
Cause I felt the fear too.
Yeah. And it's the same thing as when people come in and, you know, maybe we didn't do our due diligence when we welcome people in or invite people in, we can immediately tell who is angry and bitter and burnt the fuck out and overdeliver because what happens is mentally you shut down to feedback. You shut down to being like, hey, let's do it this way. Being open to doing this way. Just like if you've been a trainer for many years and you're like, oh shit, I've been handling a leash this way. I've been doing this way. You're like so shut off and angry and bitter. Like you can't do that type of things. Yeah. Same thing with your dog owners. That shit piles on.
Yeah. So yeah, it kind of feels like asking a client who has been used to really relying heavily on a leash and keeping their dog really close to them. When we ask them to switch to a long line, it feels like they're out of control. They don't see the big picture yet. And that's where it can feel at the beginning of grassroots. Cause we are asking to change your everything.
Putting you on a long line and going, go have fun, go smell. You're like, what?
Suddenly you have all of this new space to work in. And that is scary. It feels a little, I don't see the big picture here. I'm used to all of this control and I feel a little out of control here because everything is changing and nothing is set in stone quite yet. And I haven't sold anything yet. And I don't know exactly what I'm selling, but then the big picture comes together within like week three and you're like, okay,
this makes total fucking sense now.
I like the freedom of the long line. This feels good.
Funny side note. So yesterday, Maggie and I met up. Maggie actually moved back to where I live and I brought my dog out, my fucking adolescent pup out. And I put her on the 10-foot long line and Maggie looks at me. She's like, thank God she's on a long line. I was like, I know.
I love long lines.
I brought a smaller leash because, you know, my husband who's very with stuff, that's just him. And I brought the 10-foot long line and Maggie's like, oh, thank God. Anyway, so I want to actually kind of switch gears really quickly, Ashley. So yeah. What are some earmarkers or some benchmarks to you, you know, working with trainers now for a while at this point and coaching baby trainers? Because, wow. Also, side note, we're opening our doors to like baby trainers coming in, like
our puppy.
We're opening puppy school. We're opening the first 8 to 14 week class, basically 8 to 16 week class. It's going to be open. We are, but you know, you have to have training. You've already been training for, most likely you've probably worked for a toxic employer. But for the peeps that are new, maybe they've been doing the big three, board and trains, group classes, private sessions. What are some earmarkers of a really quality training program that brings the value to you, Ashley, like a high level overview where we're not giving everybody the information for free, where we're not over delivering on the podcast.
Connection, human education is the biggest earmarker I have, is making sure that our humans are getting educated, not just in our in-person lessons, but outside of that as well. It is so hard to go through absolutely everything you need to talk about owning a dog and being a good pet parent in a lesson while you're also trying to solve behavioral issues. So this is like a huge chunk of lecture time that is really not the most effective during our in-person lessons. Mm-hmm. Our clients are only going to retain about 10% of what we're telling them in person. So we need to figure out a way to get 90% squished into their brain in a different way. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
We want to fill that gap so that they're retaining all of the information. So I actually urge you to spend some extra continuing education time on learning how to talk to people, how to communicate with people, how to influence people, because you need to be as good a person trainer as you do with a dog trainer. Now, the good part is they're all very similar, so the crossover is not that hard. The philosophies are very similar. We can learn this pretty easily, but we definitely need to spend a whole lot more time focusing on educating our humans. When we have a well-educated human, our dogs get trained by default.
Boom.
And then dog training is easy.
Yep. It is. It really is. It's so funny because like years ago, Maggie used to be like, yeah, you know how it's what exactly Maggie said years ago when she first founded Grassroots. It's like, yeah, people say it's not about training the dog, it's about training the human. Ashley just laid the fuck out to you what that means.
Yeah.
Yep. Sweet. Ashley, do you have any other closing things for our listeners today?
If you are not feeling in love with what you're doing, please give me a call, because I want to bring your passion back into this. I want to turn you around and make you feel like, put the rose-colored glasses back on that you had when you started your business.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to be rose-colored glasses. I want this to be your reality. And I know this is possible because I have worked through this myself in my own business. With the help of Grassroots, but we can do better for dogs than what we are doing with our standard programs right now. We can do better. And Ash, I know you like, want to.
Ashley's like, put the service dog vest on me. I'm ready to go to work.
Yes. Yes.
She's ready to task.
Please let me do my job.
She's like, let me do my job. I've been in my boss's office on the floor sleeping. Nice. I want to go work. Well, you can reach Ashley directly, and I'm cool if you're cool with it, Ashley. I'll give your email information so your phone doesn't blow up. It's Ashley, so it's Ashley at dogbizschool.com, and she will be more than happy to chat with you and start to unfuck like all areas of where this, you know, comes into place, right?
Yeah. One more closing thought.
Yes.
And in addition to loving our clients, we need to learn to love each other too.
In the industry.
Yes. Yeah. Other dog trainers. We're here to support each other and learn from each other. And when we collaborate instead of hating on each other, we are going to progress the industry further, and it is going to help dogs. But we can't do that while we're all fighting each other.
Dog trainers fight?
I think grassroots is the only place in the world that I know about where all trainers seem to be able to get along and actually have deep conversations about dog training without getting into hurt feelings or whatever, anger about morals, which is important. I'm a positive trainer. I have my own morals that I am very strong in. But I am finding that when we collaborate and really talk to each other, we both find that we're all doing things not great and we can do better. Right. And when we work together, this is how we're going to get further in the industry and really do things right for dogs and humans.
Right. Well, that's also why we're so strict on our sales process. Well, our sales process of bringing people in, because we want to be able to have those collaborative conversations and foster that community with our people. And, you know, being with grassroots, like I started with grassroots as a student back in 2016. But in the last 2 years, like the last retreats I think about, remember that one we did, not the sales one, but the one before that, like it was that beautiful place. It was like that mountain house with a cabin and it had like the river going through it. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. It was really awesome to watch every single, there was like 14 people there. Everybody had a different training background. Everybody trained their own way, right? And of course, you know, we're always like, hey, listen, don't be a dick to dogs, you know, train ethically, you know, whatever your style is. But it was really great for me. And it was years before we were able to do a retreat because of COVID shit, to watch a community of people that normally would like be in battle with each other, like collaborate and talk and really truly get along as one. So.
And then just to close that up, this, when we collaborate with each other, this is how we also bring quality back into our programs.
Yes. Because
instead of isolating ourselves from each other, we can say to each other, hey, this part of my program is not working. I really don't know how to solve it at this point. What is your thoughts? And that person might have a better idea of how to implement some part of the training program.
Right.
I just want everybody to love each other.
Told you she is a golden retriever. She's that 12-year-old white faced golden retriever. The one with the frosted face. She's walking around like, hi, I love you. I love you. Or she's that little white in a hoodie.
I used to be a reactive dog who hated people.
Yeah, she was a reactive dog that had to be muzzled. All right, we are not going outside today, bro. You are staying in your crate. We are putting some Mozart on and we'll feed you through some crepe, some cheese.
Right, yeah.
We're good.
Give me a bowl of stick.
Now she's like, I love everybody. I just lay in the sun. Come catch me. I will return the love to you. And go ahead.
I was going to say it is possible to train a reactive dog into an ESA. I am pretty. Yes.
She is our emotional support, Ashley. We've said that for years now. Yeah. And, you know, again, that comes through Ashley having really quality training programs, finding that connection back to humans, and also getting her human results and building a community with her humans too. You know, I always also, I know we're like in closing, but one thing that I found really fascinating with Ashley, and we've had this conversation on the podcast before, is Ashley literally picked up her business and moved like 500 miles and started from scratch. Like beyond the grassroots team that was here, like she had nobody.
Yeah.
And she was so committed to building such a quality program and finding quality people for it that now she's like, oh my God, I'm excited. I love people. Here's my belly. I want to help you type thing to the industry. So
it drastically changed my life.
Yeah.
And mental health. This is great.
Mental health is important. Mental health is important. It is. All right. So to reiterate, I'm going to close this with the thing I said before. You'll be paid in direct proportion to the value you deliver. So money is definitely important, but chasing it is not the fucking key to success, no matter what dude bro tells you this month or calls you or blows up your DMs or pretends to be a potential client. That's another story. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ashley. Appreciate you. And thank you everybody for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Thanks for checking out another episode of the Mind Your Own Dog Business podcast. Mind Your Own Dog Business is hosted by me, Kristen Lee, and produced by the Unicorns over at the Dog Biz School team. For more information on how to get in touch with me, for more information on Dog Biz School, or to learn more on how we can help you with your dog business, feel free to visit our website at dogbizschool.com. Now, if you really enjoyed this episode, do me a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple. The reason why? Because we want to disrupt more dog training businesses and how people do the business of dogs. Till next time, bye.